Hello, and welcome to the Victorious Living Counseling Podcast. I am your host, and my name is Crystal Ridlin, and I am a licensed mental health counselor in the state of Indiana, and I'm a licensed professional counselor in the state of Texas and in the state of Missouri. In this podcast, we will talk about everyday life struggles and difficulties. We will hit on things such as depression and anxiety and grief and financial issues and relationship issues. And most importantly, we will hit on these issues and talk about these issues in depth for the purpose of being able to have a victorious living in Christ. Victorious living is not a dream. It's a real possibility through Christ. And what I have found being a counselor for nearly 10 years and working with probably thousands of people at this point is that people struggle because maybe we've never been taught how to fight properly. And when I say fight, I don't mean like a physical fight. I'm talking the spiritual fight, because every day we're in a warfare, a spiritual warfare. There is always a battle between good and evil in our spirits and in our families and in our churches and in our communities and in our world. And God has taught me a lot on this topic, but definitely not everything, and I find every week and every day and every moment how much I need a Savior and how much I need Him every moment to help me walk through the trials that I face in life. And so today, I'm actually going to talk more in depth about a trial that I have gone through recently and what God taught me through this process, and I'm going to invite you into this process because I have a feeling you might be able to relate and maybe blessed through what God taught me through this trial. So basically, the trial is that I have a difficult situation with a relationship, and it's a situation that causes me a lot of anxiety and a situation where I feel a lack of control. I even feel powerless in this situation, to feel like there might be danger looming or a lack of knowledge or wisdom. And so this situation has kept me up at night some. It's caused my chest to feel tight when I think about it too much. And so definitely has created some anxiety for me. And therefore, I found myself trying everything in my power and responding in ways that weren't, well, sometimes they were bad, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I didn't behave in a godly way, and sometimes I just reacted out of my flesh with the tools that I feel like I have acquired up until this point. And what I found is that I kept hitting a wall. I wasn't getting anywhere. And in frustration one evening, I decided that I needed to watch The War Room. And if you guys have not seen The War Room by the Kendrick Brothers, it is one of my all-time favorite movies. And the premise of the movie is that a woman's marriage is in a situation that is dire. There's a crisis in her family, and she meets up with a woman. She's a realtor, and she meets up with this woman who then becomes like a mentor to her. And Miss Claire is her name, and she's a much older woman who's selling her home to move in with her child. And I'm not going to tell you all the details, but this woman was able to teach Elizabeth, the realtor in the situation whose family and marriage was in a crisis situation, how to fight with the weapons that God has given us and not the weapons that we have. And so I learned a lot through this situation as I watched the movie and was reminded of just how good God is and the power of prayer and scriptures that I knew about, but I hadn't really been thinking about when I was feeling anxiety in the situation with this particular relationship. So I didn't have this scripture pulled up. This kind of came up, so I'm going to look up the scripture, but it's a scripture that God revealed to me as I was watching the movie. And it's 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And as I was watching the movie, God reminded me that I wasn't fighting with the right weapons. I was reacting out of my own fleshly instinct. And as a counselor, I have a lot of tools that I use in relationships, and I guess they would consider me a relationship expert, but I'm sure my husband and my children may not agree with that, but I do help a lot of people with relationships and relationship dynamics and teaching proper ways to communicate and to be vulnerable with one another. And yet, what I was coming up with wasn't necessarily bad. It just wasn't working. It still wasn't working. And so I was convicted, encouraged, and challenged by watching this movie. And I have watched this movie about, I don't know, at least 10 times, if not more. And so I was reminded of God's love and power, his absolute power. And there was one of my favorite scenes in the movie is when she decides that she's going to surrender her family and her home and her life over to God. And so she walks into her house and she demands that Satan leave her house, that he is not welcome there. He is not welcome in her family. He is not welcome in her marriage. And she kicks him out of the house. It's a very, very powerful scene in the movie. Every time I watch it, I get tears that fill my eyes and a sense of renewal in my spirit. And so I will disclose that the relationship struggle I have is not in my marriage. And so my marriage is not on the rocks or anything. So that's good to know. Although we have been at that point before where we've had relationship issues in our marriage, and we too have had to seek out professional counseling and biblical counseling throughout the years. We've been married coming up on 24 years. So anyway, this particular relationship is a relationship that is special to me, and I was worried that somebody that I loved was making decisions that weren't necessarily in their, wasn't like their characteristic of how they would normally handle things in life, and also just worried that maybe they might be headed towards some unnecessary pain in their life had they not listened and heeded advice in the present. And so that's basically what was going on. And so I was sitting there kind of after the movie, and I was contemplating the movie, and I just started saying this prayer. And I said to God, God, I just want to do my best. I want to do it the right way. This is an honorable prayer. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do our best. But you know what? I felt like God sent this clear message across my spirit that was something like this. Crystal, the problem is you're trying to do your best. And that's not getting you anywhere because you're not doing my best. In this situation and in all situations, I need you to want to do my best. And you can't even imagine what my best is because I have a mind of a human and it's weak, and it's tend to go astray, like the Bible says, we like sheep go astray. And I was putting too much emphasis on my skills, my beliefs, my understanding of the situation, and I wasn't fully submitting to God in the situation. And so, this was a powerful moment for me as I sat there with tears in my eyes and I thought, wow, that's the problem. Even though sometimes I operated in my flesh and that wasn't good, I probably said some things I shouldn't have, but for the most part, the things that I was saying and doing and how I was handling it wasn't bad. I wasn't cussing at anybody. I wasn't telling anybody off. I wasn't belittling anybody. But it wasn't getting me anywhere. Still. So, what I learned is I have to rely on God. And I also was humbled by the fact that my best isn't good enough. And I started to think, maybe this isn't just me, that I'm trying to do my best. And maybe you're trying to do your best. Because that's what typically I see when people come to my office, is most people are trying to do their best. And their best isn't good enough. And a lot of times I'll see a dynamic where people will come to me and they will say, I'm not going to be anything like my dad. I'm going to be better than my dad or my mom. I'm not going to raise my children this way. And so they operate through life with that premise. And yet there's still issues. And the way that they are dealing with or handling their child. And it creates this conflict. And that's my job, is to come in as in this case, it would be a family counselor, and help them to sort through that and help them to see that the problem is that they're trying to do their best, but they're not really relying on God. And to help them to step back and look at it from a healthier perspective. And so, so that was one of the things that God has been teaching me, is that I need to fully rely on Him. And the important fact that I have to not fight with the weapons of this world, or with my own weapons, the tools that I've accrued over the years, but I need to rely fully on God, because it's a spiritual battle. And if we look through Old Testament, we find, like, I know there are times where, like, God won victories just by somebody blowing a trumpet. That's not something I would think that would win a victory, but it did, right? Or we see how God took care of Jonah by having him, like, in the end, he ended up jumping out of a boat and was swallowed up by a whale, and that's where God got his attention. And so we can go through the scriptures over and over and over again and see this. But there was one scripture that really stood out to me when I thought about what scripture would best show how good people, God's people, His servants, were really trying to figure things out in their own, or they were struggling, and they ended up realizing they had to go to Christ. And so I came across Jesus Calms the Storm, which is one of my favorite passages, and in particular it's Mark 4, 35 through 41. And he says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Wow, I could totally read that again because I get chills the farther I get down, especially when we get to who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. As I thought about this, the disciples, there was nothing wrong in what they did. They were reacting in a situation out of their flesh in a very normal manner. Like if I was to look at the brain science of how they were reacting due to a traumatic event of a storm that could possibly take over the ship and kill all of them, it was understandable that their fight or flight response was kicked in and they were scared and they were terrified and they were in survival mode. And then they went to Jesus, who was sleeping, and he was not scared. He was calm and he was grounded. Then he said, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And I could think about many different things that Christ may have been saying in addition to these is, "Stay calm. I got you." He also could have been saying something like, "Could it be that you're fighting with the weapons of this world and being scared and terrified and freaking out? When if you come to me, I can show you how to calm things down." See, Jesus had this whole answer already, and eventually they went to him. But it doesn't tell us every little detail, but they probably were trying to figure it out for a little bit until it really got scary, is my guess, because that's what I do. I try to figure it out and figure it out and figure it out and to try to do things on my own. And it's not until I get to the point where I feel like I am swamped and the waves are coming over me that I finally fully surrender to Christ in the situation. Now, I may pray and say, "God, help me with this," but it's the full surrender part that takes me a long time. Sometimes I feel like God's too busy for my issue, and sometimes I actually just think that I am fully capable of handling it, and I forget that I need Jesus. Anyway, we all have different reasons. And so as I thought about that, I thought, why does it take us so long? Why does it take me so long to fully surrender? And ultimately, that night where I watched the movie, I knew there was something in my spirit where I was frantically trying to figure the situation out on my own accord. And I was not getting anywhere. And I was anxious. And I wasn't sleeping well. And there was even times where I had to take an afternoon off of work and cancel some clients so that I can just pray or. Actually, one afternoon, I just went to the mall. And I did my Bible study at the mall, and I got a coffee and I shopped a little bit. Like, I just needed space because I was kind of flooded emotionally with the situation. And so I started thinking, why does it take me that long? Why is it that the moment I start to sense that there's an issue, why is it then that I don't fully submit and really begin to get into God's word deeply and look for his answers to the situation. And I started to think that the reason is because maybe I don't actually believe that he can actually solve this issue. And I know that I think I believe him and I have faith, but I'm not even sure in some of these situations I have faith as small as a mustard seed. And I probably in these situations have more faith in myself than I do in God. And that's where the problem starts to happen. So the question is, do I believe? Do you believe and trust God with whatever struggle you're going through? I want you to take a moment and just allow those struggles to come up. What is it that you're struggling with it? Is it a similar situation that I'm in, some kind of relationship issue where there's conflict and a misunderstanding? Is there a financial struggle? Is there Are you struggling with anxiety? Are you struggling with depression? Have you lost somebody who's very dear to you? Have you gone through some medical issues that are so overwhelming and you're sitting through lots of different tests, which I've had to do the last 8 months? Just many, many health issues over and over again. You feel powerless to those because your body's doing one thing and you have very little control over that. And so we are going to go through trials. The Bible says that we will face trials of many kinds. It doesn't say we may or we possibly could. It says we will face trials of many kinds. But take heart, I have overcome the world. But take heart, I have overcome the world, I think means something like God will do his best in this situation, and we need to surrender to him in that trial. And I think that means that we have to trust and rest in him when things get rocky, when the storm starts to take over our boat, starts to make us feel like we're going under. We need to rest in Christ in our situation. So I started thinking about this situation. And when I first noticed that there was some conflict or some misunderstanding developing in this relationship, I prayed and I continued to read my Bible. But I also tried a lot more to figure it out on my own accord. I had a lot of conversations with my spouse about the situation. But I probably did more of that than actually going to the Word in prayer. I talked to a friend of mine who's a counselor. These things were good. It was very helpful. But it wasn't going to God. And nobody's best is better than God's. And so I'm always reminded that God is the Almighty Counselor. And he does give us people like me who can help others walk through a trial and can help keep us grounded. And I had several of those people that I talked to who were encouraging and convicting and challenging. But at the end of the day, when my spirit really started to change is when I fully surrendered to God and started getting into the Word and reading the Word, not just, you know, the Bible study material that I had for the day, but opening my eyes and immediately going to God's Word throughout the afternoon, being immersed in God's Word anytime I got a chance, and closing my eyes before I close my eyes, reading God's Word, and really praying and surrendering and looking for these answers that only Christ can fulfill. And I had to trust him, and I had to believe that he was going to take care of it. So I started thinking, what if I would have started the trial like that? With God at the center. Instead of me trying to figure it out on my own accord, but what if I had really started the trial with an absolute surrender and seeking of God's will? Which leads me to my next verse for the day. There's a few verses that stood out about this topic. And one of those is the Bible verse that talks about if we are to seek him fully. And that is Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I don't know, I was fully seeking him first. I think I was seeking him on the side, but I wasn't fully seeking him. until I came to the point where I was like, I am messing this up, and if I keep going in this way, there's going to be long-term damage. And that's when I started to realize I needed to get right with God at the center of the situation and to allow Him to take control.
So just to summarize what we talked about today, it's to remember that when you're in a difficult situation, we were never called to do our best. We were called to rely on God, and it makes our best so much better, because then it's not our best, but now we're actually reaching in to the source of all wisdom, all comfort, all knowledge, and all understanding, to come to a place where we are doing God's best. And this is the most difficult thing, because we are very me-centered, focused people. Even those of us who call ourselves Christians, I've been a Christian for, I don't know, I'm not going to do the math, but 25 years plus. And I still look to my own resources and abilities before I submit to the Father. And so to recap today's session, I want to pray for you in this moment for the trial that you're going through, and that God will show up, that you will invite Him into the process. God rewards obedience. He always does. And when we seek Him with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding, He will make our paths straight. That's what the Bible tells us, because that's what God does for us. But we limit the power that we have because we keep God at arm's width. But in the famous words of Carrie Underwood, Jesus take the wheel. Do we really want Jesus to take the wheel? Because that means we got to sit in the passenger side and the back side, and we've got to hand over the situation to Him. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then we'll just close today's session. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just come to You and I worship You. And Lord, I am so grateful that You have never left me alone in a trial. There have been many times I have felt alone in trials, but You have never abandoned me, even in the biggest, most traumatic, most awful trials and traumatic events in my life. You were there with me in the storm, just like You were with the disciples when the boat was rocking in the water and they were scared. You were with them and You had complete control. And in our storm today, Lord, help us to remember that although our boat is rocking, as long as we submit and surrender to You, our boat won't tip. Make Him close. It may feel scary, but Lord, help us to reach out to You, to call unto You, because You are the healer. You are our wisdom. You are the almighty counselor. Lord, help us to reach out to You. And Lord, enter into these hurt places, into these stressful situations, into these trying and seemingly impossible situations, Lord. And show up in the way that You show up so many times throughout my life. And I know that You are faithful. And I know that You are going to hold me, because I look back over the most difficult situations of my life and You have 100% been faithful every time. So Lord, I pray for those who are listening today that You will put Your hand on them, that they will reach out to You, and in this storm they're going through, that You will give them a peace that surpasses all understanding, and they will know that it comes from You. In Jesus' precious name, amen.